This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
This morning, I want to preach to you on this little thought. I want to die on the battlefield. In verse number 3 down through verse number 5, Paul gives some things to Timothy. And verse number 6 is where we'll begin reading, 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 6. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." I'm going to stop right there because there's really no need to go any further when the Apostle Paul says in verse number 7, "I have fought, I have finished, kept the faith." I fought, I finished, I kept the faith. Say that with me. I fought, I finished, I kept the faith. Say it again. I fought, I finished, I kept the faith. Paul, get that in your mind, is about to be offered. He's about to lay down his life. Throughout the time that Paul has been saved, probably got saved in the late 20s of his life, maybe in the early 30s, we don't know. But for 30 some odd years, Paul has been laboring for the Lord. And now Paul is doing what so many people have done throughout the years, and that is they have laid down their life for the cause of Christ. The Christianity that Paul laid down his life for is anything other than what I'd call modern day Christianity. It's not some souped up, some watered down, some mediocre, or some only when it's politically available and correct Christianity. It's not the type of Christianity that you put your name on because it's going to get you a better job or it's going to get you a better political office. The kind of Christianity that Paul was familiar with and what Paul was preaching and what Paul was about to die for was the kind of Christianity that would take a man out of darkness and put him into the marvelous light of Christ. It was the kind of Christianity that made people that were occultists uncomfortable. It was the kind of Christianity that made those people that were living like the devil squirm when they got around somebody like Paul. And it wasn't because Paul was some type of religious Pharisee, but Paul had so much God in him that when the devil got around him, the devil got uncomfortable being in his presence. And Paul says, "I have fought that kind of fight." Notice what he says, "I have fought a good fight." Say that with me, "I have fought a good fight." I don't believe what Paul was saying in verse number 7, that "I have fought a good fight." I don't think he was saying, "I fought the fight good." Paul was the very first one to tell you that "I am the chief of sinners." Paul was not saying, "I have done a good job." There is not one honest believer that is ever going to tell you that "I have done all that I wanted to do. I have been all that I have wanted to be. I have accomplished all that I have wanted to accomplish." If you are that kind of believer, then maybe you ought to grab the microphone this morning and do the preaching, because I'm just going to be honest with you. There have been times in my journey when I have been ashamed of the way that I have acted. I have been ashamed of what I did not accomplish. I have been ashamed of what I wanted to say, but I just did not say. And if you are in that camp, would you just throw your hand up at me and let me know that you're a sinner just like I am a sinner? Yeah, it's not the fight that we fight good, but it is the fight that is good. It is the cause that is good. It is the labor that is good. Brothers and sisters, when I got in lockstep with God, I got in lockstep with a good God. When I got in lockstep with the Holy Spirit, I got in lockstep with the good Holy Spirit. When I got in lockstep with salvation, I got in lockstep with a good salvation. When I gave my life to the cause, I gave my life to the good cause. It is not the way that I do it that makes it worthy. It is worthy whether I get on it or not. And let me just say, brothers and sisters, when you have failed, it does not make you a failure. When you have slipped, it does not make you a faller. When you have messed up, it does not make you and identify you as a mess up. Because whether I fall or whether I walk, whether I die or whether I live, the cause of Jesus Christ, it is still a good cause. It is still a holy cause. It is still a wonderful cause. It is still the good fight. And Paul says, I have fought, I have finished, I have kept the faith. Watch what he says. I'm ready to be offered. Paul has come to the end of his life, and Paul says, I have been on the battlefield all these years. I imagine Luke was with him at some point. I imagine that he thought Timothy would try to come, as he told him at the end of this letter. I wonder if at any point he thought that these men would tell him, Paul, just go quietly into the night. Just live your final years in peace. Paul says, I have fought, and I have finished, and I have kept. I don't plan on doing anything else in the last few days of my life. Paul says, I've been on the battlefield, and I want to die on this battlefield. Brothers and sisters, I want to be that kind of believer. I want to be the kind of Christian that labors my entire life. Whether my life is 1 month, 1 day, or 100 more years, I want to be the kind of believer that goes on the battlefield. Every morning, I want to put my spiritual boots on, grab my spiritual sword, and head out into the enemy's territory to take more territory for the cause of Christ. And if God lets me be an old man, if God lets me lay on a deathbed somewhere, I want to find my Bible. I may not have my dentures in, but I plan on gumming the devil till the day I die. I want to have my little feeble hand reach over to my little end table somewhere, pick up my Bible to the people that are gathered in my room, and let them know that on my deathbed, I have not turned back. I have not turned aside. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of things in our day, a lot of things in your way, a lot of things in your journey that are going to want to make you turn around. A lot of things that are going to make you want to pick up the white flag and wave the white flag of surrender. I want to encourage some white, black, red, purple, green, blue, magenta, whatever color, race, or sex you are. If you've been washed in the royal, regal, redeeming red blood of Jesus Christ, you are my brother and you are my sister. And let me grab hold of the horns of the family of God and say, God be my witness and God be my stay. I want to die on the battlefield for my Lord. I don't want to turn back on my family. I don't want to turn back on my call. I don't want to turn back on my God. I don't want to turn back in this war. I don't want to turn back and go back to the world. I don't want to turn back on my church family. I don't want to turn back on what the Holy Ghost has done in my life. I don't want to turn back on my loved ones. I don't want to turn back on my marriage. I don't want to turn back on this church. I pray that God will let me die on the battlefield. I may not have all the strength that I used to have when I go, but I want to die on the battlefield. I read a story the other day of a general in the Civil War. This old boy was in the Southern Army, and they were in Texas along the line of Louisiana and Mississippi, and there was a hot battle that was raging. And that old general, he got up and he started shooting. He took 4 or 5 bullets from the Union Army, and he fell down by the rock. Here's what happened. His rifle went to one side and he went to the other side. When the people came up to him, this is what that old general said. He said, "Give me another weapon." They said, "General, you are a dying, sir." He said, "Then let me die pulling the trigger and fighting for the cause." Here is what I'm saying. You may be wounded. You may be afraid. You may be scared. You may be weary. Don't you let the devil discourage you as you walk back out into this world. You grab your spiritual sword and say, "God be my witness. Let me die on the battlefield." I have a few little things I'd like to say, lest the devil think that he get the best of you and I. Number one, I want to talk to you about the initiation that I got into this battle. You see, I was in my house one day. I was living my way one day. I was walking my way, talking my way, and acting my way. And I heard a call from an army. And this is what it said. "Come and join our ranks. Come and join our platoon. Come and join our army. Come and be on our side." But I enjoyed my sin. I enjoyed my master. I enjoyed doing what I wanted to do. But I heard in that camp, there was peace in that camp. I heard in that camp, there was more than enough in that camp. I heard in that camp, there was love in that camp. I heard in that camp that they'd already won the victory in that camp. I heard in that camp that the general loved his troops and the troops loved their general. And here's what I said. I want to find out more about that other side of the battle. And one day I snuck over. You say, "How'd you get there?" It's as if somebody had lit a lantern in my spiritual night that showed me the way. You know who that was? That was the captain of the army, the Holy Ghost of God. And he lit my way, kind of like you sitting here today. You just came because somebody invited you. What you didn't realize is that the captain of the Lord's host, the Holy Spirit of God, had lit the way for you. And he'd been drawing you to this side and drawing you to this side and drawing you to this side. I got on that side and I started hearing about that other side. But it wasn't the other side that drew me to that army. I'll tell you what I laid eyes on, honey. I didn't lay eyes on that service. I laid eyes on the captain of the Lord's host. I remember the first time I ever saw him in my spirit. He had eyes like I'd never seen before. He had a breastplate like I'd never seen before, written on his girdle, written down his tunic. I'd never seen anything like that before. I'd seen badges before on generals, but on his tunic, honey, it said King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I didn't see a sword at his side. I didn't see a weapon in his hand, but every time he opened up his mouth, fire came out of his mouth. Every time he opened his eyes, lightning bolts of fire shot out of his eyes. And this is what he said. Every time he spoke, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest." And I laid eyes on him. But when he spoke, although he spoke with fire, I'd never heard words that loving. Although he opened his eyes in fire, I'd never seen eyes that forgiven. And then he reached out his hand, and it was what I saw in his hand that forever changed my life. In his hand were open wounds. In his hands were open scars. And I asked one of the men that had gone there that day, I said, "Tell me about the scars on the hands of that commander." He said, "I'll tell you what those scars were. One day at Bloody Calvary, there was a war that was raging between the side of the devil and the side of God. And that commander, that lamb, that Lord, that king, that grace giver, that peace filler, that water walker, that wave stiller, that bread maker, that wine maker, it was that God. He walked up Calvary's bloody bloody heel, and he stood between heaven and the earth and suspended on the cross. They took those nails, and he took my wounds, and he took your wounds. And that boy said, by those stripes we have been healed, because the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He laid on him my chastisement. He laid on him your chastisement. He laid on him your sin. And he which knew no sin became sin for us. And that boy said, he died on that tree. And I thought, well, my Lord in heaven, if he died on that tree, how's he here today? He said, that's not the end of the story. That was just the first day. And day two came. But on day three, the battle was over and the war was won, because that commanding king, that great God, that eternal Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, got up out of the grave. He rose up victorious, and he beat the devil, and he beat the forces of hell, and he beat all the forces of the enemy. And now that commanding King of Kings, he is my commander, and he is my Lord, and he is my Savior. Good God in heaven, I've had a lot of masters and I've had a lot of kings, but I ain't never had a master like that master. I ain't never had a king like that king. I ain't never had a ruler like that ruler. I've never heard words like his. I've never had love like his. I've never known peace like his. I've never seen a way like his. I've never known truth like his. I've never felt grace like his. I'm telling you, there ain't nobody like him. His good grace, his good mercy, his good love, his good peace, his good way, his good blood, his good way. It's him. It's him. It's him. Don't you look at Tyler this morning. You say, you're crazy. Honey, I know I'm crazy. You say, you're nuts. I know, but I got screwed onto the right bolt. I found God, and God found me, and he baptized me, and the Lord Jesus Christ washed my sin away, gave me a home in heaven, and saved me forever. And don't you look at Tyler today. Old Tyler Curtis can't save you. This church can't save you, but I met a commander, and he can save you. You say, how do you know he can save you? Because he's been doing it for 2,000 years, and he keeps on winning the battle, and his name is Jesus Christ. His name is Yeshua. His name is the Lamb of God. His name's the Lord of glory. His name's the redeeming King. His name's the royal King. His name's the wonderful King. He's Jesus. He's Lord. And I'm telling you today, he's the one that called you. He's the one that called me. If you turn around on God today, you won't be turning around on Tyler. You won't be turning around on Church Street. You'll be turning around on the bloodstained name of Jesus Christ. You'll be turning around on the one that died for you. You'll be turning around on the one that was wounded for you. I got initiated into the battle. But let me say something. I got in a battle. Whoever said that church, Jesus, and walking with him was tulips and pancakes all the time obviously doesn't read the Bible I read. Because you know what I'm finding every morning when I wake up? War! You say, where do the bullets fly? In here and in here. How many of you think you're crazy? That's why we all get along. You ever go to bed happy and wake up mad? You ever go to bed mad and wake up sad? You ever go to bed and you got nothing wrong, but you wake up the next day and the whole world's against you? Yeah, now we're cooking with cheese. You say, how's that happen? As a battle. Let me get down in the potato patch with you. You ever want to live for Jesus, but temptations come your way, and there's something inside of you that says, And something inside of you says, no! Something inside of you says, yes. Something inside of you says, don't you do it. Something inside of you says, you'll get away with it. You know what that is? War. The fact that you struggle on the inside is the greatest indication that you've been saved by the grace of God. You know why? Because if you didn't battle, you wouldn't realize there were two sides fighting on the inside. If something inside of you said, just go do it, and you said, I believe I will, that's not a good indication that you have the Spirit of the Lord, according to Romans chapter number 8. But he that hath the Spirit of the Lord, he belongs to Christ. And the very fact that you know there is sin and know that it would pleasure your flesh, but something inside of you says no, that's an indication that you've changed sides. Let me talk to you for just a second, if I can, about the invaders on the battlefield. You have three enemies coming at you. From the north side, you have the world. Every day you wake up, the world is against you. The world is not your friend. Their ways are not your friend. Their thoughts are not your friend. They want to see you dead, 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 gone, destroyed, put out, thieving, stealing, killing. Listen, brothers and sisters, that world doesn't love you. That world doesn't care anything about you. That world doesn't love your youngins. That world doesn't love your family. That world doesn't love your spirit. It hates you. That spirit of Antichrist that's constantly pulling, saying, no, 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 no. It's okay to do that. No, no, brothers and sisters. That is the spirit of the world, and the world hates you. The world would love to see you give in to the lust, give in to the pride. They'd love to see your youngins in the world. They hate you. And you know what you need to realize? It's not your friend. They are not a pretty little thing to play with. They are not a fun little thing to deal with. You know what that is? It is your enemy. Ooh, got quiet on that one, didn't we? Yeah, let's poke around in that potato for a second. When you go out of here and you go in that world and you see those neon signs and you see those this and you see that and something inside of you says, why are you so uptight? Okay, I'm going to be preaching to myself in a second, but I enjoy that because I'm listening. Yeah, they're not your friend, beloved. You know how I know? Give in to them one time and see where it leads you. I've dealt with too many people. I've seen it in my own life. I've read that Bible. You can do what the world wants you to do, but it will always lead one way, and that is the way of death and destruction. That's your first enemy. The second enemy, are you ready for this one? The flesh. Oh, I can handle that world, but that flesh, it's constantly telling me it's okay. But it'll feel good. It's okay. Just a little drink, a little smoke. That flesh is constantly yanking. Anybody else battle that flesh? Yeah, two of us, I thought. The rest of you need to get saved. You know you battle that flesh. I battle that flesh. There ain't a Christian in here that doesn't battle the flesh. I love it when people come up to me and say, the day you get saved, you'll never sin again. Ha! Crazy. The day you get saved is the day you'll hate your sin, but you'll do it anyways. You know why? Because there's two natures inside of you. The old man and the new man. And you'll wake up, you'll go to bed, fighting the flesh. You know the problem with flesh? When you give in to it, it's a whole lot like cotton candy. Sweet to the taste, but at the end of the chewing, it's gone. And some of you have been looking at that invader come into your life, and you're tired of battling. Let me tell you something. Don't you give in to the flesh. Don't you give in to the world. You die on the battlefield. You say, I'm not stopping. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. If I have to fight my flesh myself, you fight that flesh. You say, I've got to fight the world myself. I'm telling you right now, you may fight, but you won't fight alone. You say, Mama abandoned me, and Daddy abandoned me, and Brother abandoned me. I'm telling you right now, the big three didn't abandon you. God the Father's still with you. God the Son is still with you. And God the Holy Ghost is still with you. And let me just go ahead and give you another one. There's an old preacher down there on the side of Church Street. Doesn't have many cents to rub together, but I got faith in my heart to know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Don't you give in. You're fighting the flesh and the world. Here's your third enemy. Are you ready? The devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. You have the triad of evil that's trying to demolish you. What is the devil? That's that accuser that says, you know you're not worth anything. That's that accuser that says, you know what you used to be. That's that accuser. And when you get forgiveness of sin, he says, did you really mean that? And when you stand up to do something for God, that's that accuser that says, what if they really knew? I'm going to go ahead and pop the balloon for everybody, for myself. I used to be a nothing. I used to be a nobody. I used to be a lying, thieving, adulterating, low-life, good-for-nothing sinner. But I met the commander. I met the Savior. I met the blood. I met the God that would redeem my life. Let's just go ahead and put it out on the table. How many of you are dirty, rotten, wretched, no good-for-nothing sinners? Let's just go ahead and let the devil see what we think about ourselves. Put your hands down. But how many of you met the Lord Jesus Christ and had been washed in the blood? So you go ahead and let the devil know, I may have been, but I am now a child of the King. I may have been a rotten sinner and I may still sin, but I got blood flowing in my soul and it's forgiven me and washed me and made me a part of the family of God. But those are your three enemies. Oh God, those are the invaders on the battlefield. Let me give you number three. The impediments. What are those things that are going to come in your way this week that are going to want to make you, say that three times fast, that are going to want to make you give up? I wrote down a couple. Number one, can I tell you the one thing that makes me want to give up quicker than anything? Are AWOL soldiers. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing like setting out to serve God and you're in there fighting the battle and you're out there serving in the war and you've got good people beside you and you've got loved ones with you or a spouse with you, and the next thing you know, you're firing and on the firing line and you're working for the cause of Christ, and you look and turn around and they have walked out on you. They have left you. They've tucked tail and run, and you start screaming, where are you going? Don't leave! Only to realize they're abandoning you and they're abandoning the cause of Christ and they're abandoning your marriage and they're abandoning your children and they're abandoning the church. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing that's more sinking in your soul when a daddy that used to take you to church says, I found somebody else. Bye! There's nothing as heartbreaking when a woman says to her husband, I've met somebody. You just don't do it for me anymore. And they check out on you. Mamas and daddies, there's nothing harder than when your youngins look at you and say, you know what? You can serve God. Help yourself. He's not for me. And you think the one thing I fought for the hardest, AWOL soldiers will break you in half. But let me tell you something. God be your witness. Why don't you say today, by the help of the Holy Ghost, if they've walked out on me, that doesn't mean I got to walk out on Jesus. They've abandoned me. I don't have to abandon Jesus. You say, my daddy, I know it was heartbreaking. I know it shattered your soul. You say, my mama, I know it was betraying when they said that to you, when they walked out on you, when they abandoned the cause of Christ. But why don't you, the Holy Spirit, take that which the devil meant for evil and turn it for good. And you say, God, they abandoned you, but I will not abandon you. They walked out on me. I'll never walk out on anybody else. Instead of letting the hurt define you, let the hurt refine you. Don't let it change you. Let it reshape you. An AWOL soldier will rip you in half. Second thing that'll rip you in half, are you ready for this one? Friendly fire. How many of you have ever been serving God only to feel a... only to turn around and you've been shot by somebody on your side? What do you mean they said that about me? What do you mean they don't really like me? What do you mean? They said they loved me. What do you mean they said I'm a hypocrite? And those daggers. friendly fire will make you want to walk out on God so fast it'll make the world's head spin. And anybody who says differently is a liar or a hypocrite. It will shatter your spirit. Shatter you. But brothers and sisters, I have found a solution. How that you don't allow those things. Listen to me. The minute you allow those things and those people to keep you from serving God is the day you have allowed them to have more power over you than you allow the Holy Spirit to have over you. The day you say, I'm done with that. I'm over that. I'm through with that. I am marching on is the day the chains fall off. Is the day the bondage falls off. But I found a solution. I have found the answer. How do you get over friendly fire, Brother Bob? How do you get over when other people walk out? Hey, Kim, will you find me Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 and verse number 2? Because the Holy Ghost done laid this in my heart. The Holy Spirit put this in me yesterday. I have found the answer to AWOL soldiers and to people that friendly fire me. Bob, how do you go on when everybody says, you're doing a terrible job? You don't even know what you're doing. How do you keep on marching when people say, you're a hypocrite, you're a good for nothing, you're a low life, you don't know what you're talking about? How do you go on? Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You ready? Number 1, how do you get over AWOL soldiers? Realize there's other people that are still on the firing line with you. Not everybody has abandoned the Lord. Not everybody has turned aside. An old backslidden hypocrite Israel. Elijah got so broken and he got so upset. He said, I'm the only one still serving God. God said, son, who do you think you are? I've got 7,000 reserved down yonder in a cave that have not bowed the knee to Baal nor to Ahab. Here's what I'm telling you, brothers and sisters. When you see people walk out on you, and when your husband, your wife, your mama, your daddy, your mom, grandma, I don't care who it is, you realize there are still people that are in the church of Jesus Christ. There's still people that love God. There's still people that are on the firing line with you. And if that doesn't do it for you, and if everybody else walks out, this is what you do, honey. You lift your eyes up into the heavenlies, and you see that wrapped around this entire world are the great cloud of witnesses. It was that faithful mama. It was that faithful granddaddy. It was that faithful preacher that years ago led you to the Lord, and they've gone home to glory. Do you know where they are right now? Good God in heaven, I'll tell you where they are right now. They're at the banisters of glory, and they're saying, keep on going, youngin. Keep on firing for God. Don't you turn aside. There are people in this church right now. You were here in 1967 when Bill Kanoy stood at this very place, and you've been fighting the battle, and you're just about ready to throw in. Do you know where Dr. J. William is right now? He stepped over the banister of glory, and he says, don't you throw in the towel. You keep on going for the cause of Christ. It's that preacher. It's that deacon. It's that Sunday school teacher. It's that faithful mama. You know how you get over people that have abandoned you? Realize there's millions that haven't abandoned you. But I found the big one to friendly fire. Because I've been abandoned by people. But I don't know of another hurt like people that are supposed to be on your team that cut you. But I found one. I have found an answer. It's in verse number 2 of chapter 12. Are you ready? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Are you ready for the answer? How do you get over friendly fire? You keep your eyes on Jesus. Get the image of what Jesus did on the cross. Everybody abandoned him. There were only three people at the bottom of the cross. That was John the Beloved, Mary his mother, and Mary the wife of Cleophas. And then, of course, there there was Mary Magdalene. So there were four people there at the foot of the cross. Just a few days before, hundreds and hundreds of people had been with him crying, "Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." It was those very same people that just a few hours later would cry, "Crucify, crucify, crucify." But how did Jesus keep on going when they betrayed him? You know what he did? He kept his eyes locked on heaven. He kept his eyes locked on the empty throne at the right hand of God the Father and said, "That's where I'm headed. That's where I'm going. I'm not turning aside. I'm not turning around. I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I've got my eyes on another country. I've got my eyes on another city." When everybody starts betraying you and they stab you in the back and it puts you on your knees, here's what you say: "I'm still looking at Jesus. I've still got my eyes on the Master." Because when mama forsakes you and daddy betrays you, you realize right now the Lord Jesus Christ, he still hasn't betrayed you. He still hadn't turned his back on you. You keep your eyes on God. You said, "But they said this about me." I'll tell you what you need to do. Trust me, I'm speaking from experience. You drown out their voices with the voice of God Almighty from the Word of God. And when they say you're a hypocrite, you know what you do? Trust me, I'm speaking from experience. You lift your eyes up to Jesus and say, "I'm following Christ. And if I'm a hypocrite, you'll be my judge. And if I'm a lowlife, you'll be my judge. And if I'm a schemer, you'll be my judge. Not those people behind me." You keep your eyes on the Lamb of God, because the day is coming and the battle is going to end and you're going to be standing before your general. And I want him to say to you, I want him to say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." This battle will not go on forever. This battle will not last forever. This trial will not last forever. You stay faithful to God. Keep yourself in the battle and die on the battlefield. How many of you can remember the old preacher Hinkle Little? Old Hinkle Little pastored the Calvary Baptist Church in Taylorsville, North Carolina. The only thing people remember about Hinkle Little was him singing a little song. And it said, "I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul." He was a young preacher. Some of you probably remember him when he was young. He'd get up and he'd sing that. He died an old man. And they say the last song that Hinkle Little ever sang, he got up with shaky hands, got up with raspy voice. He had been bent low by age, been bent low in the battle. And Bob, this is what he said when he stood up to preach and sing the last time. He said, "I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Now some say, 'Give me silver.' Some say, 'Give me gold.' But I say, 'Give me Jesus. He satisfies my soul.' And I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul." Preacher, where will you be this week? You won't have to look far. I'll be on the battlefield for my Lord. Where am I going to find you this week? It's not time to tuck tail and run. It's time to get back on the battlefield, because the Lord is coming and I want him to find me with a sword in my hand.